This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm Arab, man. When you have a guest from out of town, it's just everything he wants to say and talk about is right.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I'm a Jew on Yom Kippur interviewing an Arab, okay?
So, I think well played, well played.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Steve Smith Sr. Still to come. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All righty, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We just said goodbye to Steve Smith Sr., and what a fun 40 minutes we just spent with him in studio in preparation of tonight's kickoff to week number 5. He had a lot to say about the current state of affairs in Carolina, as well as what's going on in Denver, why their offense looks choppy. Part of it is Russell Wilson is a guy who's really used to making off-schedule plays, and this is an on-schedule offense, and finding that sweet spot in between the two of them kind of reminds me of when Gary Kubiak was there in Denver, right? And Peyton Manning liked being in shotgun, and his offense likes to put the quarterback right under center. And how that, you know, with the stretch plays and trying to get the ball to the running back was difficult to do that from the shotgun because it's much better from the under center. And how sometimes you'd like to, Kubiak like to take that quarterback from under center and roll him out. And that's not what Peyton Manning did. So they put him in the pistol. You remember that was kind of the sweet spot.
Compromise.
It was that's what it kind of reminds me of right now when you're taking an all-time, you know, obviously Peyton Manning has a much more significant resume than even Russell Wilson, right? But it's similar to that where you take a guy who's won a Super Bowl in another spot and bring him into this place and trying to figure out what things are in the offense. He also called Jerry Jeudy just a guy, which is, he said it wasn't anything
Not derogatory, but
the word "just a guy" is the acronym for it is JAG. When you refer to a player in the NFL as JAG, that's you're not talking about he's Jacksonville Jaguar.
That's the thing too, like the loss of Tim Patrick, I think, in the preseason.
He said that as well.
Kind of a big deal.
If you missed what Steve Smith had to say, and also some great stories about his playing days, about how he would get riled up for a game and why and how that where that came from and. Just fascinating to me, you know. Just one of the more fascinating figures that I've gotten to cover and now getting to meet and work with on NFL Network. And you could check out, again, the show that he's doing for the NFL's YouTube channel, Tuesdays at 1 Eastern Time, where new episodes drop, NFL's Most Interesting Jobs. It's Steven going deep into NFL buildings and learning what it's like to be a chef and a K-ball handler. That's the kicking ball, by the way.
Kicking ball, Mike. You get that?
Kicking ball.
Okay, very good.
Got it.
That was just a fun time right there. It's our 8-year anniversary today, so happy anniversary to us. It was 8 years ago that we were born.
So I just saw
Sapp told me as well. He that Tony Dungy, it's his birthday as well. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is he points out it was 19 years ago today when the Colts came back from 21 down against the Bucks in the last 4 minutes. Remember that one?
I do, yeah.
And
was that on Sunday night?
It was a Monday night.
Monday night.
It was a Monday night on ABC.
Al
was on the call. Yeah. And it was a big night. It's amazing. I need to remember this date because that was a big night for me, too. I watched that game in a hotel room getting ready to fly out to move to Los Angeles. For the first time.
Wow, that's awesome.
19 years ago today, and NFL Network, you know, we're about to celebrate our 19-year anniversary in November. And I just remember sitting in that hotel room thinking to myself, man, I'm not on SportsCenter anymore. And what's my new life going to be out in Los Angeles? Just flying out. Susie was already out here. She was, living in L.A. as well. We were living separately before we got married in June of 2003. And I just remember watching that game and thinking to myself, I guess, okay, if I was on the air on NFL Network, whatever the hell that's going to be, this is what we'd be talking about. Having no idea that what would that be? Let me do the math. I'm terrible at math. 11 years later, I would be sitting on the set of this show launching something that is such a part of my life and my career with you guys.
Yeah, man.
And everybody who has been taken in the show as well.
Appreciate you guys.
You came up with like a list of our favorite guests over the years.
Dude, we were just kind of like going through, you know, we've had hundreds upon hundreds of in-studio guests. And so we were just kind of like trying to talk about what our favorite in-studio guests were.
You got to put Larry David up at the top of that list, right?
Oh, you know what? I didn't even have Larry on it.
How would you not?
I tried to come up with a top five, and I have a TJ-esque, like, 20.
I mean, Larry David.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, Rudd's been here many times.
Yeah, here were some of the ones. Literally, Bush did a concert for us.
Right over there.
Not George.
Bobby Cannavale.
Not George.
Not George. The band.
The band.
I think Bobby Cannavale
hosted that day. Because you were gone on a Friday. That was
our
first
year.
Our first year,
I was doing Thursday Night Football from the road.
Yes.
And we would be doing the show by remote.
On Thursdays and then Fridays we would have a guest host.
And that created in our first fall, again, 8 years ago this fall, where I did a show from Miami. And our satellite truck got stolen.
That's right.
The night before. And so I flew out on, I guess, after the Wednesday show, getting ready to go to Miami that night so I could get there in time for Thursday's football. It was Tuesday going into Wednesday, whatever it was. And I remember, you know, getting told in my ear that our truck that we were using to get the Rich Eisen show out of Joe Robbie Stadium, I think it was called at the time, or whatever the hell it was called. That it gotten stolen. And they found that truck that was stolen out of the parking lot of the hotel that it was being, you know, parked in. That the driver, I guess, just parked it in the hotel, and it got stolen. And then they found it on like a train trestle track, you know,
that was blocks.
Like they found it totally rummaged, and so I mentioned on the air here that our satellite truck had gotten stolen, and people took that to mean it was the NFL Network's. And it was a huge to-do because people thought Thursday Night Football wasn't going to be broadcast because I had just announced that the satellite truck had gotten stolen.
Right.
That, like, made newspapers. Remember?
You were
doing this show by remote. I was on, like, the local news. Yeah. People interviewing me. Yeah. I'm like, no. It was for the Rich Eisen show. But please spell my name right. Yep. You know, spell the show's name right. We just launched. We're just on the air.
Viral moment.
I found one of the articles right here. Hysterical.
So I couldn't get back for Friday shows. So that was the first times that Susie sat in.
Yeah, Susie. And in the beginning, it was like the Sklar brothers and
Joel McHale did one.
Bobby Cannavale.
Right. So we try to get as many celebrities here because I wanted this seat to be viewed as aspirational by anybody who sits in it. So I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to just have anybody sit in.
Right.
Well, that created some problems just for us to book it. But Cannavale even said, you know, that he was exhausted after the three hours of doing it. And I'm like, bro, you do Broadway like double headers. Like you do
the Sunday
matinee. You do matinees and evening shows and you're not exhausted. Right? He goes, yeah, because I know my lines there. Here, I don't know my lines. I'm like, okay. All right. Sorry to go off on a tangent, but we used to have so many.
It's just like a list of like Ray Liotta and Craig Kilborn. He finally getting him on the show. Stone Cold, Will Ferrell, Snoop Dogg came in and was drawing plays up on a grease board
that we still have over there. Yeah.
And then he was helping us one day. The employees here at AT&T would run 40s and Snoop was out there timing them with us. Ed O'Neill, Mark Paul Gosselaar, Mike Tyson, Boban coming in. Brian Cranston, Elizabeth Shue, whose birthday is today.
Oh, is that right? Another reason why this is such a very special day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brian Cranston coming in here, right, where he told so many stories that have still gone viral on our YouTube page. We still see when he came in here, he told a story. I asked him about that scene. What, you know, where
Tim Watley in the
no, about Breaking Bad.
Oh, Breaking Bad.
I asked him about the scene where Jesse's girlfriend, I think played by Kristen Ritter,
mm-hmm.
where she passes away, and it's a very difficult way to, and he watches her do it, doesn't save her because she knows compromising information about him, one of the many times that Walter White broke really bad. And we watched him go down the rabbit hole of breaking bad. And it's one of those times where so many times you would talk about an anti-hero, root for him and root for him to survive. And then other times just think, what a total awful human being he is. And that's the beauty of watching that show, is it created in within you as watching it your own. You question your own values, right? Mm-hmm. And so I asked him about that scene. He told a story about how he would do that and imagine his own daughter being in that bed. That is still one of our most viral videos. Yeah. Every now and then I'll see it pop up on our YouTube analytics as suddenly people are continuing to watch that. The toughest scene he said he ever had to do in Breaking Bad. And he sat that in this chair and told that story. I love that guy, man.
Yeah, Matt Damon, Jerry West, Kareem, Matthew McConaughey's been here a few
Jerry
times.
West has been here because Susie books him. I don't think I've ever interviewed Jerry West here.
That's true. He's been here with Susie Marshall.
Matt Damon, remember I busted him for when he's talked about, when I asked him about, he was here for the Bourne movies. One of the latest Bourne, or the last Bourne movie. He was here for that. And I asked him about, you know, his workout regimen and stuff like that. And I'm like, you ever slip up? And he started talking about how he once had a chicken palm.
And really
I busted
went.
Him out. He did. I said, did you say chicken palm? And he's like, no, I didn't say chicken palm, Rich. And I'm like,
chicken palm.
And you look
it
back.
It sounded
you
like
you
said chicken palm.
The video, and he 1,000% turned into Good Will Hunting out of nowhere. I remember that interview, yeah.
And Ed Norton, and we just had Henry Winkler over the summer.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to hook him up with Patrick Mahomes on the 20th of November. I think it's going to happen.
I can't believe it.
I mean, that is going to be...
And Ed Norton's story about a bad beat with Damon in the World Series of Poker promoting Rounders is a great story, too, on our YouTube page.
Kit Harington from Game of Thrones coming in here was awesome.
Lena Headey as well.
We've had a lot of Game of Thrones people. Yeah. Kevin Costner all the time.
Oh,
Al's come in. Al Michaels. Jeff Bridges. I mean, and again, there's probably a dozen more I'm not remembering.
Jeff Bridges telling the stories about being Lebowski is just I'm so proud of that sitting on our YouTube stream too, man.
Dude, man. John Hamm, obviously.
Yeah, man. There it is. That's the drop. I mean,
Jodie Foster.
James Remar.
Jodie Foster telling, we had Jodie Foster here about a week after Jeff Van Gundy told a story about her.
On the finals
during
broadcast?
During the NBA finals broadcast.
Yeah.
About being at Yale and wanting to, you know, there was a competition about trying who's going to be the first fellow classmate to go out with Jodie Foster.
Right.
He told that story on the broadcast. And then we played that for her.
Yeah.
And we showed a picture of him to her. And she goes, yeah, it doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no.
And then so Van Gundy came back on a few weeks later and said that Steve Kerr had seen it and made merciless fun of him about that.
Pretty good. Oh, Morgan Freeman we forgot about.
Right. Well, Morgan Freeman was here with us, and then he was also here when Deion sat in.
Right,
yes.
How great is that? Deion Sanders interviewing Morgan Freeman.
Wild.
That's on our YouTube stream.
Pretty wild. I told him to
Stone Street. How many times?
Movie.
By the way, he's calling in Monday. He wants to come in. He wants to call in next week before Chiefs Raiders.
Wow. Amazing.
Rudd coming
be awesome.
In with the outfits.
Rudd came. Well, I mean, Will Ferrell.
Will dressed as Jesus.
He came in on a Halloween, the night of a Dodger World Series game.
Oh. Right.
Dressed head to toe as Jesus.
He's never worn a normal outfit, I think, on the show.
And then he came in with John C. Reilly together, and he was dressed as the assistant referee for an AYSO because I had just seen him referee one of my kids' games.
Yeah.
And he came in with that. But I'll never forget, again, this stuff just is in my head. When Will Ferrell came in dressed head to toe as Jesus... And he held up, he brought in the costume. He brought in the costume.
The bag.
The
right?
bag, the plastic bag. And he held it up and he said, there it is. One size fits most, is what it said at the bottom. See that on the bottom left? Yeah.
He's so
with a Dodger cap on. And he said it was really hot underneath that costume. That's how he did the entire interview.
5 years ago. Wow.
One size fits most.
She's so good.
And he had the sandals, W and F on, his own, like, monogram sandals. And I kept thinking, was he wearing those and he's screaming for the meatloaf?
Very possible.
What are your favorite? Who are your favorite guests over there, TJ?
Sometimes
TJ goes in his, I'm just gonna stroll and scroll Twitter and just sit back and listen.
I'm not scrolling.
I don't want to
Twitter. That's for sure. No, I mean, I'm just sitting back listening. You know, I've only been here,
You've been on this set for four years.
And actually, Zach, publicist of the Stars, made a comment on your Instagram that he was the first guest officially.
I know, because when
we were... That is completely not true.
Well, he's saying that because when we were rehearsing, he sat in.
No. On the very first time that the cameras were fired up and LABC was doing everything...
Our broadcast center,
I sat in that chair.
And this chair right
here. No, Drew sat in your chair. Okay. I was the first guest that sat there and we did a mock interview.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So we were
here for that rehearsal.
I was you know, not directly involved with the show from the beginning, but like I said, I sat in the studio and used to have lunch here working for DirecTV. I was in Chris Long's office all the time when your name got brought up, when the idea for this show to come happened.
You have no idea.
The plans for this started to be built. So I was always kind of indirectly around, but not directly involved.
Usually, right here.
Like I said, almost right where Chris is sitting is where the table I'd always sit.
You have no idea, man.
So
what it took for this show to get built. I'm going to tell this story. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this one, and it is really deep.
Roller coaster of that
dude
summer.
Just trying to get a carve out from the NFL of my contract to do this show was a lot. It was a lot, and there was a time where it looked like I could get it, and then it looked like I couldn't, and then the time where it looked like I couldn't, I had a meeting right here on the campus of DirecTV, speaking with the major domos there, with my agent. And we're like, just make us an offer. And they're like, we are not going to make anything that could construe, the NFL could construe as inducing you to leave. We're not doing it. And we're like, no, I don't understand your partners. He goes, that has nothing to do with it. That there was a merger. You remember that merger that eventually did happen between, AT&T, which bought DirecTV and,
Oh, yeah, I remember it well.
And there was a merger. Between AT&T and DirecTV, there was coming, and it was between AT&T and Warner, something like that.
Yes,
it was the one that Trump held up or whatever. Eventually, but anyway, so the merger wasn't going to be. Oh no, it was AT&T and DirecTV. That's what it was. So that merger was predicated on the NFL Sunday Ticket being part of DirecTV, and they didn't want to upset the NFL. In any way, shape, or form that could upset the Sunday Ticket suddenly not being with DirecTV anymore.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so we had to leave the negotiations for the moment. They were willing to, if everything was going to hopefully get back on track. And so I just remember looking, I'm like, so you're telling me the Rich Eisen show might not be born because I might blow up the largest merger in the history of the United States entertainment business? Is that what you're saying to me? And I remember the answer coming back, like, we don't want to find out. And I remember thinking, this is not going to happen.
Oh, I remember the text all summer long about that.
Like, you may be coming, you may not be coming, we may be doing it, we may not be doing it, I don't know.
Hold up.
And then it did. And I thanked the NFL for allowing me to do this. And of course, DirecTV and AT&T, birthing us and growing us and nurturing us and keeping us on the air when maybe, other places might have ended our tenure. Because there was some, some dicey times, man, when you're giving birth to something and growing it.
Mm-hmm. Also, Rich, I kind of mentioned this morning, Chris Long ran DirecTV and I was kind of... Not the man sitting next to the man, but kind of like the man sitting next to the man sitting next to the man. So I would always hear his plans, and I always knew about the show, when, like I said.
Would I have lost more hair if I had known what was going on?
Maybe. But the funny thing is, I sit back here, and I'm like I said, I was watching you guys. I wasn't really chiming in earlier.
Yes.
But I can remember Chris saying to me, and I've told Brockman and Mike this. We were watching one of the early episodes in his office. He's like, I need to find a way to get you on that show. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, there's already four guys down there. Like, there's no way. He goes, I don't know. I think you should be on that show. And, you know, for 8 years later, I guess, well, 6 years, because I've been on two, for it actually come to fruition. It's very weird and amazing for me to sit back and go, wow, man, like, it, you know, this really came together.
First of all, you deserve it. And secondly, you earned it. And I don't know if that should be the order in which I say it, is because the reason why you did come here is on here on the set is because we were looking for a social media person.
A presence, like, yeah. Well,
somebody to be in charge of our social media. And I remember it was you and somebody else who were splitting time here, and you were the one who attacked it. You're the one who attacked it and made it your own. And then obviously, you know, you doing what you do here, you deserve it. And then Brockman and Del Tufo, you guys are just the greatest. And, you know, I thanked so many people on my Instagram, where I posted a photograph of me and Vince Gilligan, our first in-studio guest, and Hoskins, our coordinating producer, and Sean Mitchell, our digital producer, and Jordan Sherrow sitting at home and who's editing this, and Adam Chudwin is the guy who sounds like he's asleep when you call him and speak to him. And, you know, and so, you know, I also, you know, wanted to lead up to, that's my wind up to this pitch as well, the names of the people that you read out, Chris, on that list of all the celebrities, the A-listers who have been here, and all the celebrities who come here, and you know, get in a car to come down to El Segundo, California, which is an ask in this town. Liz Wailed, our
geographically sound,
our co-EP, and somebody who has been with us since the very, very beginning. Ashley Parker, we're sitting next to her for many years as well. You know. And the fact that she is Ashley Wheeler and Lauren Parker were sitting. I mixed the two of them.
One person.
I mashed them as one. You know, sitting next to her as well from Central Talent. Now Liz has struck out on her own, and she is here still. I mean, it is awesome. And then there is one person who is here on the set today. Interestingly enough, on our 8th anniversary, who nobody's met, I think, on the television side of things or radio side of things. We're going to bring her out here because it is truly, that's how we're going to finish the show today. Because it is truly an achievement, maybe the greatest achievement of this program. I'm just going to tease it and leave it at that.
Let's shout out Dawn Bowie, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we could go down the list as well. I'm glad that you mentioned
her. Well, I just know Dawn's watching right now. Yeah. So.
Oh, no, I apologize. I didn't mention that because James Crittenden and everyone at DirecTV. But Dawn, you're one of our favorites and one of the best. So, yeah, he was our coordinating producer. Man, when we were in COVID hell, I mean, it was really deep.
It was like the five of us.
I know we're just laying it out here, but I obviously just want to thank those are the people that are just leaping to mind at the moment right here. And I'll just throw out, you know, people we started the show with as well, Drew Olmeyer and Ted Mulcairn and our longtime friend Chris Law as well. And we were all there for a podcast for so many years. Again, we're 8 years old, and hopefully we've got more to go. And
let's do it.
Just leave it at that.
Is that it?
Thank you very much.
We're still here after that 2020.
Marshall sitting COVID. In with Suze, and you know, the other day. I mean, my gosh.
Oh,
just keep going. And of course, I mean, my gosh.
Going,
so I thanked you on my Instagram feed. Last but not least,
smoke and mirrors, baby.
Susie Schuster, who you know.
Oh, that's
is an inspiration
Susie
to me
Eisenhower.
Every day.
Rich, my wife.
Yes, Susie.
My wife.
I'm Susie. Yes, Susie. Yeah,
we were
that's
me.
Rich Eisen. That's Susie Eisen.
Every single day.
We need to get her. Day. When's without Susie her, coming back?
Show, without her, this show doesn't exist. I think in a few weeks.
All right. We need to get drunk again.
You want to get drunk?
Rich Eisen. Oh, that's Susie Eisenhower.
Yeah, without her, this show doesn't exist. That's a fact. That is a fact. Let's take a break right here on The Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here on the program. When we come back, oh, yes, indeed, our quarter season NFL awards. That's coming up. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back here on the Terrestrial Radio Outfit on the Rich Eisen Show, coast to coast. When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors. You're unlocking potential, the potential to do your own thing and be your own boss and steer your own success and blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is designed and equipped and built to let you hit that open road and take on any goal you set, to help you follow your own passions and reawaken that spirit of adventure. Check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences off your bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path they'll take you. And with 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, and thousands of ways to customize, a Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the program. Let's go to a phone call. Nathan in L.A., you're here. What's going on, Nathan?
Hey, Rich. Thank you for taking my call. It's been a while.
You got it.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for doing it. What's going on?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, first of all, congrats on the 8 years.
Thank you, sir.
And I wanted to ask you if you had an interview that you can recall that was the hardest to get through because you found yourself tearing up during the interview.
Tearing up during the interview.
Do you recall anyone that brought you that close, or that was
I don't know. I mean, to tears, I don't think that I've ever been brought to tears. I mean, I've brought myself to tears here. I mean, I've done a lot of crying on this program, that is for sure. But thanks for the call, Nathan. I think the most difficult interview, we didn't mention this, Chris, was Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh yeah.
That actually made, I think, the documentary in his life, did it not?
It did.
Because he passed away, was it the next day?
He was here on a Friday.
A week later.
He was here on a Friday. Yeah. He died the next Friday.
Yeah, he was not, I don't think he was all there.
Looking back, it seems like he was not well.
We weren't posting anything at the time. We weren't really doing very much. Like, our social media presence wasn't that significant, and nor was our footprint. I mean, we were on Audience. Yeah. And a handful of radio stations, and that went viral. People were like, what happened there?
Yeah.
Another one that really, you know, moved me was, and we didn't mention this either, Tyson Fury came in here.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
And talked about his battle with mental illness. And that was something else. That was the most viral video we've ever had on our Twitter feed ever. I don't remember, though. We pre-taped that interview. It wasn't live. We pre-taped it. And it was early in the morning. We got here really early in the morning because that's when he could be here in L.A. And we went into the green room. I went in the green room. You were all out here.
Yeah.
And I just, the first thing I noticed was how tall, how huge he is.
Yes.
I mean, huge. And the fact that he was wearing pink shorts that on a huge man like that, it was like John Stockton-like, okay?
Yes. Yeah, they were short.
There's a lot of thigh. We saw a lot of Tyson
DJ,
feet.
A lot of thigh.
A lot of Tyson, a lot of Tyson thigh, which normally you can get in the, you know, in the poultry section. There it is. Yeah, there it is. With a very colorful shirt.
Very tan.
And you could see in the background right there, it was early in the morning. And everyone was so concerned, like, well, we run it back later in the day. And you could see behind me right now, it's very light out. It wouldn't match. Well, whatever. But I remember going in there, and the other thing that I'll never forget was it is, to date, the most people anybody who's ever brought as an entourage to our show. Had to have been a dozen people? There was a guy in like a pinstripe suit who was doing magic tricks for you, right?
That was his trainer.
That was a trainer.
That was his trainer. It was literally like the Guy Ritchie movie Snatch. When you
when I came out here after speaking to him and they were talking to me, after I was talking to everybody, because I like going back
there.
I didn't understand a word they said. I didn't. I needed subtitles. You think watching Peaky Blinders is tough? You should have been in our green room that day. And I remember coming out here, and you're like, "How is it?" And I'm like, "Well, I just walked out of a Guy Ritchie movie." Is what I told you all.
I need a caravan for my ma. I'm partial to the pay we
could do. It's what it was.
5 minutes tech-ish.
Yeah, it was awesome.
They were great, though. We had a great time.
Yeah, great time.
Like, they stuck around for another 20 minutes after it was over. We
took pictures.
We had so much time before our show started.
They had a photographer with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking for the picture.
Was that Top Rank Boxing? Is that what it was? Yeah, they were here, and oh, man.
It was June 5th, 2019.
Oh, crap, was that.
Yeah.
That was moving. When he was saying, when he was talking, because, you know, the thing that started it is, you know, I brought up his fight with the Bronze Bomber, that first one, right? First one where he was down and he was out, and
TJ and I were there.
We were in the building,
and it felt like he got knocked out.
Yeah, we thought the fight was over.
Well, I mean, if you do one thousand, I think he got a couple extra 1,000.
I think so too.
A lot of people think so too.
He didn't.
I brought that up. I said, you know what? Where do you find the wherewithal to get up? We thought you were out. How do you get up? And he starts talking about his battle with mental illness, and that's how I can get up and stuff like that. And I'm like, what do you say to people that think that you had a couple extra seconds to get up? Yeah. Oh, and his answer was, I just sat back.
Yeah. Mara Rinaldo was also here too, and he also talked about his battles with you know.
Mike Tyson was here. You weren't on the set yet. You were still at the Los Angeles Broadcasting Center in Culver City, which is where our control room for so many years was based. Man, that was when we were on Fox Sports Radio, and our time clock, just to get a little deep into things here, our clock of when to take breaks, there was a 60-second break I had to take in the middle of an hour or close to the middle of an hour as much as possible.
Yeah,
so if I had a guest in studio that came in at 20 minutes after the hour, I would have to stop it and say, stay right where you are. I've got to take a 60-second break and we'll come right back. And sometimes I would, in my head, as I'm interviewing somebody, it would be dicey as to when I would take it because I didn't want to break up an interview that's going well.
Right.
I didn't want to interrupt an answer. I would have a follow-up question to what they're saying. So my plan of taking a break, I'd have to scrap it on the fly, you know, and probably Hoskins, who is our CP now, is one of the many line producers getting in my ear. You got to take your break. And I'm hearing it in my ear and I'm trying to do all this. Tyson was there. And I remember asking him a question of how many rounds can you give me right now? Right now, years after retirement, if you had to get back in the ring, how many rounds could you give me? Which is the question I ask many football players after they're retired. How many snaps can you give me? The answer would be like, I can give you about 5-10 snaps, right?
Right.
And he looked at me and he goes, "Oh, I don't want to even think about that.
Yeah, don't want to
because
go to that
if
place.
I go, if I get back in a ring, it'll put me in a very dark place." At which point I'm like, "All right, so we'll take a break." It was right when I went to my 60-second. I had that one in my back pocket. All right, so we'll take a break, and when we come back, you know,
you could tell he was about to flip and go to a dark spot.
Yes. And he was literally like, okay. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going to take a break.
We were going to lose him, I think.
And then when we took a photograph afterwards, I take a photograph with guests, in-studio guests during the commercial break, right here on our carpeting, right in front of my
set. The lighting is best.
The lighting's best. And I remember, as he's taking a picture, he turns his head and fakes trying to bite my ear. Awesome. I have that photograph.
It's awesome.
It's on the wall. It's one of the photographs on the wall when you walk in. Right. Well, let's take a break. When we come back here, Mike McCarthy apparently had, I mean, this guy gives you nothing when he speaks, and he knows he gives you nothing.
Yeah, he doesn't owe you anything.
I think when he came on the show last spring, he even knows. Yeah. He knows he doesn't want to give you anything. He knows where all the pitfalls come when he says something into a microphone. Apparently, he had a soundbite of soundbites today.
He's a Godfather fan, Rich. He knows you don't let anyone outside of the family know what you're thinking.
There you go.
Come on, Santino.
All right, here we go.
What are we doing?
All right. Yeah, because you know what happened when that last time that happened. You know, Pop took a few. Okay. Right in front of the Genco olive oil. All right, we're back with the Mike McCarthy soundbite of soundbites. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Love it. Looking to buy a new home, Navy Federal Credit Union has loan options and resources that help their members save and make sure they get the best deal. Right now, Navy Federal is going to contribute $1,000 as a lender credit towards closing costs on your new home. Plus, get this, members save on their monthly payments since there's no requirement for private mortgage insurance. That is not all. Navy Federal offers low rates and fees, too, so you could save even more. And Navy Federal's experts can help you choose the best option for you. So the home loan process is as smooth an experience as possible just for you. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Qualifying members with purchase mortgage applications after September 16th may receive up to $1,000 towards actual closing costs applied to closing with no cash back and subject to loan program maximum contribution limits. Terms subject to change. Ask your loan officer for details. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Big game this weekend here up the road in SoFi Stadium. Your Dallas Cowboys, TJ Jefferson, yes, in town. Are you going?
It doesn't look like
why?
It, man.
Because you guys are selling your tickets to people highest bidders and not giving it to TJ Jefferson.
Damn act together.
Is that what's happening?
TJ wants to pay. TJ,
not going to lie.
Would you give him a hometown discount?
He can log on. He'd have to. Well, a discount in terms of what? What I have him listed for?
Yes.
He will not have to pay what I'm listing for price.
I would do the same thing.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
Ashton doesn't have seats?
No.
He doesn't?
No.
That's odd.
TJ, you like sitting close?
So you're going to...
Or you want to see everything that's happening?
You could see everything that's happening.
Be sitting at the
nicely
crib.
Done.
Yeah.
Can you not see everything that's happening? They're too low down.
He's a lie. He's never been down there. He doesn't know.
Mike, your seat is too low. You can't see anything that's happening on the other side of the field.
Liz in the back went with me. She will tell you my seats are perfect.
We'll have to ask Liz about that. I always think that whenever I'm around SoFi, you know those dugout. You can only see the players standing on the sideline watching the Oculus.
Yeah. You're watching it on the
hell
screen.
Of a party those though. I'm sure in there. All right. At any rate, the Cowboys are in town.
I know.
What is the town where Las Vegas, or the town where Mo Green does not have a plaque or a signpost despite forming this town? What do they have to say about it?
A lot of credit to the Rams, just under a touchdown. Rams favored by 5.5.
Huh. Reason why I'm asking is, you know, I never really ask that stuff.
Feels a little high for me, but
I don't understand these things. As an NFL employee, I'm confused. Mike McCarthy was asked today if the betting lines potentially could serve as a motivational speech topic for his team.
Interesting.
Here's Mike McCarthy's response.
How often do you use the point spread to motivate the team?
I don't know if I ever have. No, I have. What is it this week?
5.5.
We're underdogs? We're good. All right. Just wrote my Saturday night speech. I'm good. No, I've never used it, but I'll just say this. We're nobody's underdog. So if you need a quote.
We're nobody's underdog. Salty McCarthy.
Oh, Cowboys money line.
That's the guy. Who once upon a time.
How about that?
In Western Pennsylvania.
Wow.
You go up to his toll booth with a $50 or $100 bill and make him give so much change. That's that guy. You go up to his toll booth with a C note, and he's got to make like 98.50 change.
He ain't happy.
That's that guy. Oh, Salty McCarthy, where nobody's underdog. Run, tell that to Los Angeles.
Should I pick up Cooper Rush and play him?
By the way, how about that reaction being told? Yeah, folks think that you're not going to beat the team that just got physically beat up by a terrific defense. And guess who's got a pretty damn good defense of his own? Wow. So Nick Bosa and the rest of those guys, they just did it to the Rams and Micah Parsons and Tank Lawrence.
They're coming.
Can't.
Dang.
I'm kind of writing his Saturday speech for you.
Wow.
Right? Jeff Wilson just ran it in 33 yards out on a toss on this team. And Tony Pollard and Zeke can't. Hold on a minute. So Debo just ran 55 yards through that entire defense, and CeeDee Lamb or Gallup can't. Okay. I got it. I'm writing his Saturday speech. You're welcome, Mike. That's why, you know, you come on this show. When you don't go on anybody else's show during the spring, is we pay it forward. We pay it back to you.
Well, do you? Because, I mean, you don't always talk nice about us, but, you know, right now you are. So,
how am I talking nice about you? I'm not saying your Cowboys are going to do anything that I've just said. I have said I'm not discounting the Rams.
Compared to what you usually say.
I just like it. I like it. He's saying with his chest. Mike McCarthy saying it with his chest.
That's right. Sizable.
And it's just his reaction to being told that those in Vegas who determine who is believed to be better or not,
who let the dog
decides
out?
To just put the that is a lot. 5.5, huh?
That's a lot.
It's a lot for how the Rams just looked.
Yeah.
And considering it's probably gonna be a Cowboys home game.
Well, it is, because you're the perfect example as to why it's a Cowboys home game. I find it funny how you're the one throwing that out there as a possible storyline, and you're helping create it. You got tickets that you're not using.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman.
Rich, at the same point, though, you wanted him to sell his tickets to me, so either way, they're going to a Cowboys fan.
But that's the point.
I am.
So, yeah, you're saying that he shouldn't sell his tickets to a Cowboys fan.
He should go and root for the Rams because he's a season ticket holder. And so should Del Tufo. Why can't you?
I am physically working.
What are you doing?
I'm at Fox.
What are you doing at Fox on Sunday?
I do game breaks. I do the.
When I hear the game breaks, it's you're the one who's micing them up.
Yeah, I'm there.
So you can't go to any Sunday games here in Los Angeles?
No, unless they're at night.
So why don't you?
I go to the night games.
Mike, you're one of the more popular people I know here in Los Angeles.
That's true. You have friends everywhere.
I do. You are the king of the South Bay.
Mayor.
Okay, you're the mayor of South Bay.
Yep.
You know people at the dock. You know the people on land. Here. Land and sea. You know land and sea. People love you. You're friends with everybody. You don't know two people who root for the Rams you can give you tickets to? See? You can't sit here and go, well, it's going to be a Cowboys home game when you're helping make it there.
Most of my Rams fans have season tickets that I know. I have other teams.
There are two people would be very happy to go scream whose house, Rams house, if you gave them the opportunity, and you're not. You're making your money back, which I understand. It's your right to do it. But when we
I should be there because this is a game where the Rams
I'm just pointing out that when Stafford's got to go silent snap in his own house on occasion. There's four full-throated individuals at the game using your tickets. Both of you guys.
Now, that's a pretty bold assumption. A Rams fan could be buying our tickets?
Yeah, it's true.
We don't know.
I'll find out from my seat.
And we never will,
but
we can make a very educated guess, can't we?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's not. That was loud for the Rams against Buffalo. And I thought it was going to be a Buffalo home game for the opener when I went.
And it was very loud for Buffalo. It's just a loud building, man.
It's a loud building.
It's a very loud building because it's an outdoor stadium, technically, because the ends are open. But you put that canopy on top, and it is very loud in that stadium.
I don't think if Dallas puts 50% in there.
It's going to be more than that. Because
it'll be at least 50.
No, I'm telling you.
You really think somebody sitting out there
in
Riverside County is going to be just making one shot to come into the game because it's the Cowboys and they're going to root for the Rams?
Yeah.
You really think they're going to buy your tickets?
There's a lot of
Come on now, man.
I'm telling you. Brockman.
You're part of the problem. That's all I'm saying. They're part of the problem. Part of the problem.
No, the problem is Cooper Rush, guys.
Yeah. Oh, he's not the problem.
He's the starting Cowboy quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. He's going to win 6 straight games.
Oh.
And then Jerry's going to really have to make a decision.
By the way, I got some criticism on my Twitter feed that we cut off the Jerry Jones interview the other day when the radio host followed up with a question saying, how many wins does it take for Cooper Rush to keep Dak?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and his answer was there's no such number.
Jerry's lying. I mean, come on.
He said it's Dak's job. There is no such number.
I'm with Brockman.
Our whole conversation about could he not, like Jerry immediately put a cap on it. Boom.
If they blow out the Rams,
yeah,
then it's going to really think about
it. They're not blowing out the Rams.
Why not? The Eagles and the Rams.
Well, you know why they would blow out the Rams? It's because they feel the momentum of all the people sitting in your seats.
Wow.
Oh,
way
Rich.
To make it about us.
Not the Rams' inefficiency
on offense.
No,
they do have some issues on it.
Pretty, you know.
They got some problems on that offensive
leaky
line.
Number
11. Number 11's coming.
Let's say he beats the Eagles by 20 points. You're gonna be like, oh, we're putting Dak in next week.
And you know why? If number 11 looks more ferocious, you know why? He was inspired by Aaron Judge's 60-second home run. He was there.
You were at the game?
Parsons was there. Dak was there. A bunch of people were there. Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Rich,
it was cool.
Del Tufo showed me a video on his Facebook yesterday, and there was a woman. The guy who caught the ball, if you go back and watch it, he was caught it in front of two empty seats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a woman, Del Tufo showed me this video, and a guy was making a video, and he's going through the crowd, like, where'd it land? Where'd it land? And he's doing the video live, and they're like, it landed right here. And he was asking the lady, well, like, what happened? Did you have a chance to catch a ball? She was like, no, because security wouldn't let us down to our seats when he came up the bat. And they hit it right in her chair. It's right where he caught the ball. And she's like, they wouldn't let me down.
Hold on. We got to talk a little bit more about this. I have not heard that.
Yeah.
You have a video?
Yeah, there's a video of it.
My friend Drew was at the game.
You can listen to the NFL on the NFL app, on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. When we come back, Aaron Rodgers using his potential retirement now as motivation for his wide receivers to grow up fast. And our quarter post awards and my top five storylines for the next 4 weeks.
Love it.
Still here on our Roku channel feed.
Yes.
So
my friend,
your friend was at the game. Shot a video of a woman who says,
yeah,
I was not in my seats because security would not let me down. Because
what, play had started.
Well, look, you know, sometimes when you're at a Laker game, a hockey game, they won't let you in.
That's what happened.
They won't let you in until the next stoppage of play. And the same thing with tennis.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They will not let you in until it's the end of
a game where they're switching ends.
Right.
Yeah.
They won't let you, but baseball, I've never heard that.
I've never heard that of baseball.
What, the judge is at the plate, so you can't disturb somebody just in case he doesn't walk or fly out or ground out or double or single like he's done for a week and a half. That sounds really weird to me, man.
By the way, if you know Judge is coming up, you're getting out of your seat, you're lost.
That's another way to look at it.
But he let off the game.
He left,
It was. Oh, that's right.
So the game was just starting.
That's right. I keep forgetting.
So I guess
about
if you're not in the seats, knowing the judge is leading off the game.
Oh, that's also your fault.
That's also your fault. But still.
That's right. I keep forgetting it was.
I've never heard of that at a baseball game.
I've never heard of that before either.
But yeah, you should have been.
NBA games, it happens all the time. I don't know about baseball, but all the time in NBA, like you go to Staples, they won't let you go down to your seat.
And the same thing for a Kings game.
Yeah, until
Kings too.
Yeah. Same thing.
But yeah, baseball. But that's what she claims, and she was sitting in the chair. So
that's crazy. Oof.
But at a Rams game, you could go on these guys' tickets anytime you want.
What a jerk.